1 Samuel chapter 30. I have just a simple little message for you guys. I got woke up this week about 3 or 4 days ago, and I had asked the Lord to help me to, I said, Lord, help me to know what you would help me to share on. So this is what God gave me, and I woke up somewhere around 4 or 5 in the morning. And it was a blessing because the story that I'm going to share with you is something as well that God told somebody to do something, and they did it. And they were blessed in the process of it. And by the grace of God, I can tell you that I'm blessed beyond what I deserve. God is very, very, very good to me. Amen? First Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, it says, Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. The story is that David and his men had been traveling for 3 days, and they had come somewhere around 55 miles on horseback and walking, or whichever way they did it. But if you can relate to that, if you've been out, you know, they were tired, and their circumstances were that they were ready to get home. And I think sometimes all of us, things are going well, and we kind of just expect everything just to be going that way. Unfortunately, that's not the way things work out. When you least expect it, it's when trouble comes, and it comes in a way not only to test you, but to find out really where your faith is. I was reading an article this week about our country and our churches, how America has lost faith. And that's so sad because I don't know about you, but a lot of times when they share about somebody being born again and when they come to know the Lord, how there's a zeal and there's an excitement about serving God. And as the years pass, sometimes I think people kind of lose it a little bit. But this is one of the things that I can share with you, that when we get together as men here on Wednesday nights, we enjoy that joy, and we enjoy talking about the Lord, and we enjoy sharing about the Lord. And I would really invite you, men, to come, because you're missing out on something that would give you a spark to your life, that would give you something to start moving on. somewhere in time, as we go forward, you're enjoying peace here in America. You get to do what you want to do, and you go wherever you want to. One of these days, it's all going to change. And when it changes, you're going to find out, like the people in the Ukraine, they were enjoying their lives, and all of a sudden things changed. And when they changed, there was an awful lot of terrible things that came with it. The Word of God says that when we die, it said, on that day, you will ask me nothing, because you already had the opportunity to ask and to do so many different things. when persecution comes, I hope you're ready, because it will come, and it is coming. The Word of God tells us that, and you need to be prepared for it. And the only way you can be is to have the Lord in your heart to be your strength, because the Word tells us we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
You see, we're in times where people are falling away. They're doing what they want to do. Yeah. And we've already read about kingdoms. We have read about countries that used to be that are not now. Amen? Just to give you a little heads up, the United States is not in the Bible. Okay? It does not appear there. And so I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I do know that the enemy is doing so many things to take us down right now. Amen? This story with David and his men, they came into this, they came home. And when they got home, everything had been burned down. Their families had been taken. Their children had been taken. And I don't know if you've lost anybody or if you've been close to someone that went home. But I'll tell you, when you're all alone, it's very different than when you have companionship, when you have a family. I can tell you from experience that it's not as easy as people think it is. Amen?
Amen.
One of the things that happened to David and his men, and in verse 3, he says, "So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burnt with fire, and their wives, their sons, and daughters had been taken. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed. There's a lot of definitions of what the word distress means, but I can tell you that sometimes when things happen, you have no idea or you don't even know what to do. You would like to have something to hold on to, but it's just not there. And here David and the men had lost everything that they had, and they didn't really know what to do. But sometimes when the problem comes, people start blaming others for their problems, and sometimes they start looking for excuses as to how or why that took place and what have you. And as the men were, after they had cried out everything, the word says, "Now David was greatly distraught, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters." Yeah. When you have something happen to you, I was driving on Highway 8, and we were moving pretty good, 50, 60 miles an hour. And I was just paying attention to my lane and what was going on. All of a sudden, a car flew off, just went right off the freeway. And so I pulled off, and I got out of the car, and two or three other cars pulled off, and we ran over, and there was a lady sitting in the wheel, was in the car and holding on to the wheel. And she had her hands were so tight on that wheel. And I just started talking to her. I said, "You're okay? You're okay? Everything is going to be okay." A lady went around the other side, opened the other door, and came in and put her arm around her and started talking to her. And little by little, she started loosening her hands up. You see, the comforting that we all need is that sometimes when these things happen, it's so difficult. We have no idea what to do or anything. She didn't know what was going on. She had, the car had tumbled two or three times and it landed upright.
Wow.
Yeah. But by the grace of God, she wasn't hurt. Yeah. With David and his men, imagine you're the leader of a group. And all of a sudden, these people that you have been leading all of a sudden turn against you for something that you had nothing to do with. Yeah. Stop and think of all the broken families, the people that have had divorces, children that have two or three fathers, two or three mothers, and all they're confused, all of those things that are going on. The Bible tells us in a marriage that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Amen? Yeah. But yet, these things are happening more and more and more, and they're happening to Christians as well as to the other people. We're compromising our know-how that God has blessed us with for the world. The Amalekite that burnt the city, the word means the world. Yeah. The world and the flesh are constantly at what? War with the spirit. Yeah. And this is something in our daily lives that sometimes in our families we have problems. Sometimes our children wonder and they take off. Sometimes they don't want to believe. Sometimes they don't want to do the right thing. And we struggle with that. But you see, the whole principle of having a problem is that if you know where to go to get help for that, it would be an advantage for you to take what? That step and turn and go someplace where immediately you can get some help. In verse 6, it said, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were gripped, every man his sons and daughters. Then the word says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I don't know when was the last time that God helped you, but I can tell you mine. I came home yesterday, a very simple thing. I opened the door and I put some stuff that I had in my hands away, and I sat down and I ate, and I didn't remember where I had put my keys. I couldn't find them. I called my sister and she came over and she helped me to look. Couldn't find them. But I just kept saying, "Lord, only you know, why don't I remember where I put them?" Yeah. But the good thing was that within the hour, I was sitting studying and God opened to me where I had put them. You see, when you call upon God, He will answer you.
Amen.
Yeah. Remember we were saying how the Amalekites, okay, the world, the flesh, but the Bible tells us that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So when we turn to God, we are reaching out to where we are going to get help. When David said he strengthened himself, when you turn to God in prayer and you humble yourself and you start talking to God, when your problem, like that lady that was in the car, the only thing that I could do was pray. Because I'm not a paramedic, but she was okay. But I kept asking the Lord, please help her, dear God. Please help her. And he did. And everything worked out fine. Yeah. See, sometimes when we don't know what to do, God does know what to do. And you see I want you to go to a story in the Bible that you're familiar with. Remember when Peter fell in the water? And he said, help me? What happened? God got him up right then. It wasn't later, it wasn't a week later, it was right then. When God knows and understands the circumstances in our life, he knew where David was. But how did David get to a position of, like the word says, strengthen himself with God? To me, the most important part of my life is my relationship with God. Amen. Without God, I'm nothing. As you guys know, a lot of times I get asked by a lot of people, why do you do what I do? I do it because God helps me to do what I do. Yeah. I enjoy everything that I do. I help people every day, and I do different things, and only God could help me to do that. I don't do it on my own. And here where the Bible says David strengthened himself, I couldn't tell you exactly what David said, but when you read the Psalms and you read all the things that David wrote, Psalm 51, where he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You see, when you know God and you believe in God, okay, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. How often do you apply that faith? When other people come to you and they have problems, do you point them to God or do you point them to someone else? I don't have the solutions and the resources to help people. Only God does. But I know that with God's help, the Word of God says that with God all things are what?
Possible.
Amen. You see, we can quote the word, but how often do you apply it? Because we're living in times where people see who you are. Your children see who you are. Your neighbors. Yeah. Are they looking at God or are they looking at someone that is just like, maybe doesn't care who they are or what they are? Yeah, the Word of God says, love God with everything within you, and what? Love your neighbor. Yeah, and it doesn't tell us who our neighbor is, it's anyone. Amen? Now, imagine for David that this guy wanted to stone him, but instead of getting angry with them, he calls upon God. And I want you to understand, when you do that, what happens? Because things happen, and when it happens, people see what's going on. Amen? in verse 7, he said, then David said to Elihar the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake him? I want you to see that David didn't say, God, get these guys that have those stones. They want to kill me. He wasn't defending himself. Immediately, those guys that were around him heard what he said. You see, when your faith is strong and you apply it, others see it. Amen? Amen. You know, you live it. You know, God has a solution and the answers that we all need. Only He can fix and straighten what was broken and lost. Amen? Yeah. Only He can bring those that are way out there back. We can't. But I want you to understand how David did it. He did it by asking God for help, okay, to help everybody. And that's the important thing that we need. We need that help from God and that love from God to love other people, to encourage other people. In verse 7, it says, then David said, I lost track here. Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake him? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake him and without fail recover all. Now, God tells us what he told David. God, you all know what the Word of God says, okay? But it takes faith to what? Go forth. It takes faith to what? To do what the Word of God said to do. You see, you can read the Bible. Some people don't even read the Bible. You know, they hear other people say things. Yeah. But you have to move to do what God has called you to do. Amen? In verse 9, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where there stayed, who were, were those who stayed behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were weary, and they could not cross the brook Besor. By the way, this brook was 15 miles from where they were. So they went from where they were staying at the place that got burned down. They remember that they were weary, they were tired, and they came home and they had nothing. All their food supplies, everything had been taken. And yet, here's their leader going forward, and he's asking God, and God is telling him, go. And the other people are following. In verse 11, when they found, it said, then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake, figs, and when he had eaten, his strength came back to them, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. I want you to see when God starts opening doors in the prayer that you have laid out for him. You've heard that expression, a God thing? This is a God thing, you know? This Egyptian was not a coincidence that he was where he was, okay? There were several things that were going to take place with this man, but one of the things was that he was part of the group of people that had burned the city. And in the process of that, you know, God put him there, okay, And sometimes, remember the guys that wanted to stone David? How do you think they felt when they found out that this guy was one of the guys that, you know, had been part of the group that had been there and destroyed everything they had? Yeah. But you see, the faith and the love that David had was so strong that he kept going and going and doing whatever God called him to do. And then David said to him, "To whom do you belong and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherites and the territory which belongs to Judah and the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." So right then and there, he admitted to David about what he had done. One of the things that is so important in our lives is to be honest with God. Amen? Don't come to God with excuses. Don't come to God by trying to color it a different color. Okay? It doesn't work. Okay? You know, speak to God and speak to God from your heart and let him know, because he already knows what the truth is. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. It's not going to change anything, but I'll tell you what. When you speak the truth, the word of God says the truth will what? Yeah. So this guy, you know, he realized where he was, but he what? Spoke the truth, and the truth had an effect on what he said and what he did. Amen? And this is the same way with all of us here. He said, "And David said to him, 'Can you take me down to the troop?' And he said, 'Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop.'" So he knew where the people were, and God had put him there purposely for that. And now he's going to take David and the men to where they need to get to. He said in verse 16, "And when he had brought him down, there they were spread out over all the land, eating, drinking, and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken in the land of the Philistines and from the hand of Judah." That's the enemy. They were celebrating everything that they had taken. Then David attacked him from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Then the word says, "So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives." Remember, there was a problem. Remember that the guys wanted to stone David. Remember that they were angry. Remember that they found a person that was connected with what had taken place. And all of a sudden, all of these things had worked together for what? For the good of everyone. Okay? And nobody had done anything bad. Nobody had killed anybody. So far, they had what treated the Egyptian with kindness. They gave him food. They gave him water. The Word of God tells us what? To love our enemies. Yeah? How love can tear down walls. In verse 19, "And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil, or anything which had taken from them. David recovered all." When a marriage is broken and gets back together, sometimes when a son or daughter goes out and lives their own life and what have you, when God puts all these things back together, it's time to what? Remember when the prodigal son came back, that his father said, "My son was lost and now he is found." It wasn't a time to condemn. It wasn't a time to criticize. It was a time to what? Rejoice. Amen. And this is, you see, as Christian, okay, as believers in Jesus, yeah, if the love of God is in you, it's going to flow out to the other people as well. Amen? You don't need to get angry. You don't need to do the wrong thing. Then David took all the flocks and herds had driven before those other livestock, and this is David's spoil. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they had made to stay at the brook Beshur. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. Then all the people that had stayed behind were people who were tired. Okay. Now, I want you to know who those people are. Okay. We have people who clean the grounds here. Okay. They don't get paid. We have a sister that's been coming here for more than 20 some odd years. She vacuums the church. She cleans the church. Okay. We have a lot of people in the background that you don't see. Okay. We have the deacons, the ushers. They come and get everything ready for you on Sunday morning for the meetings that you have here. See, those are those 200 men that were left behind. You see, they were part of the troop. You see, a lot of times we look to people that we see and we hear and everything else, but there's other people involved in making everything come together, because we all have gifts and talents and abilities that God has blessed us for the edification of the whole body. Not just one person, for the whole body. Because what you have, I need. What I have, you need. And God worked it out that way. Amen? When David came to these guys, he loved them. He loved them even though they had stayed behind. But in verse 22, the word says that all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any spoil we have recovered, except every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. You're always going to find people who are selfish. I had something happen to me this week. It was a good-sized test. I was at Home Depot. I went to the bathroom, and when I looked down on the floor, there was a wallet, just a regular wallet. I picked it up, and it had a ton of money in it. I mean, a lot of money. I opened the wallet, I looked through it, no ID, nothing, just money. And I'll tell you something about myself. Many years ago, I didn't know the Lord. I came to this bank here, not very far from us here, and I took my check, and I signed it, and I put it in a little machine. It went in there. They sent me back the money, but they also sent me the check. The lady made a mistake. So she gave me not only the money, but she gave me my check back. So I took everything out, and I went to another bank and cashed my check again. See, now I had twice the money.
You didn't know the Lord.
Oh, you know, that was pretty pretty smart, right? Wrong.
What?
Wrong. But I'll tell you the bad thing. Was that evening I got a call from the lady at the bank, and she said, Mr. Olivares, I cashed your check, and I think I send it back to you instead of keeping it. And she said, I need for you to bring it in, because if you don't bring it in, I'm going to have to pay for it. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I got the money, but that was it. I did that. Yeah. And when I found that wallet, and it was full of money, I said, pulled it up. I went and I...
Pay it forward.
I went and I asked one of the people there, I said, can you call the manager? And she said, why? I said, I need to talk to a manager. And I said, I found a wallet. Well, you can turn... No, I don't want to turn it in. I want to talk to a manager. So sure enough, I got to see a manager, and I said, this wallet doesn't have an ID. I said, but I would like to know who it belongs to when it's returned to them. And I said, I'm going to give it to you. And I said, now I know who you are, and I'll come back and check with you to make sure that that person picked up that. But the good thing was that it never entered my mind to take that wallet and put it in my pocket and walk out.
Praise God. God changed your life.
See, I didn't need that. See, many years ago, I didn't need that either, okay? But I didn't know. See, I thought that was, I'm lucky. Things are working good for me, see? No, it doesn't work that way. And you see, these guys that were with David, you're always going to find people who are selfish, who don't care about anyone else. And the sad part about it is that one of these days, they're going to be in need. They're going to be in want. Because what goes around comes around. The Word of God says, what a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Yeah.
Amen.
So it's important in our lives to understand what David did. Okay. To begin with, he had a problem. He prayed. He asked God for help. God gave it to him. You have a problem, give it to God. Let God take care of it. He'll fix it. Amen? He will do for you what you can never do for yourself.
Amen.
Yeah. I see things in my life come and go, and I see people struggle. And I just pray, Lord, please help them, dear God, because they need you. So all I can do is pray for them. But I don't give up. I still keep praying for them. Amen? I'll close with this. Turn to 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, the word of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with ability which God supplies. And in all things, may God be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As Christians, something very important in our lives I don't know if you have ever noticed or not, but the reality of, you know, when we're out in the world is that there's one person who doesn't hide what they are, and that's a prostitute. They dress the part, and that's the way that they are, okay? But we as Christians don't need to go around telling anyone who we are, okay? The Word of God says, by their fruits, you will know them. Be fruitful, because I'll tell you what, when God is with you, everything else is fine. Amen?